Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. It's Tuesday, and that means that we unfortunately have to turn our gaze to the small but matter of British news, British politics. And there's been another attack in Golders Green. If you remember Golders Green, that was the place where the ambulance burnout happened a while back. Now there's been another incident where two men were attacked by a chap called a Somalian chap called Essa something, and it's caused some controversy, to say the least, because certain political forces within the British system want to try to use these sorts of incidents either A, to prescribe the IRGC as a terrorist organization. That's one kind of narrative strand. A second strand is to introduce extra protection, extra legal protections for Jewish people in the United Kingdom, because of anti-Semitism, et cetera, et cetera. Okay. The trouble is that this man, this Essa Suleiman, who has now been named. One was already known to the police and had a history of extremism and mental health issues, etc., etc. The other problem is that on the same day that he attacked these two Jewish gentlemen, he also attacked a Muslim gentleman, and many news outlets neglected to mention this when they first reported it. I have actually checked to see what the BBC said, and what the newspapers are saying now. Most of them now have updated to reflect the fact that, in fact, he faces three charges of attempted murder, not only two. But this has caused a bit of a problem in itself. Also, when he was arrested by the police, they used quite, let's say, violent methods to subdue him. He had a knife. He was resisting arrest. And if you watch the footage, they kick him in the head several times. And, you know, if you're just kind of seeing it past your feed, kind of looks like police brutality is what it looks like. This then caused a political row, because many people watching that footage said, you know, was it really that necessary? And one of those people, it was a retweet, really, was Zach Polanski, the leader of the Green Party, who retweeted somebody kind of asking these sorts of questions of the police, which then caused almost everybody in the political system, including Keir Starmer, to condemn Zach Polanski and ask him to apologize again over charges of possible anti-Semitism, despite the fact that Zach Polanski himself is Jewish. And it's been a whole hullabaloo. Okay. Now, I, for my money, have been trying to avoid doom scrolling and watching the news, as people know. I have been kind of vaguely aware of this happening in the background, but, try to keep out of having an emotional response in the moment, to just see how things play out and then comment on them as they come. What I would say is that I find it interesting that these kind of incidents keep on happening in Golders Green at the same time as major legislation as vested interests are trying to pass this major legislation. That keeps on happening. It's obviously a pattern. Whether the reason behind it is the one that all the newspapers have run with or not remains to be seen. But the way I pass all of this is that, Labour have council elections coming up. And at the moment, it seems like it's the Green Party's turn as there are two major parties now that are threatening the uni party, i.e. Labour Tory Reform, who in my opinion have already been contained and conform to the iron law of oligarchy. They are no longer any sort of threat to the system. They've already been through all of this. If you remember, Farage was accused of being anti-Semite and blah, 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 blah. And now Reform are an empty shell, really, being ridden by the system. They're yet another regime vehicle. The Green Party have not yet been through this sort of struggle session. Now it's their turn, and they're using this retweet from Polanski to, do this kind of bring the Green Party under scrutiny and, shake them to be less radical, essentially, and less of a threat to the powers that be. One person who I follow on YouTube is called No Justice or No Justice MTG, a fervent Green Party supporter. And I use her to kind of keep an eye on what the Green base or what the kind of Green activist class are up to. I should mention before we get there, I happen to see that if only women could vote below the age of 50, the results of the next election would look like this on current polling. The Green Party would win a majority with 482 seats. That is if only women could vote under the age of 50. Obviously, that is not actually the case. But it does tell you something about the strength of support for the Greens on a whole host of issues. It's not just their leftism, of course. It's their stance on foreign conflict in the Middle East and many other things. It's dissatisfaction with Keir Starmer, dissatisfaction with the direction of the Labour Party. That has been happening quietly. A lot of people are backing the Greens to do very well in these council elections, which are sent to possibly be a kind of doomsday event for Labour and maybe the thing that mean that Starmer's opponents or his would-be replacements in the Labour Party, if they're going to make a move, they'll make a move then in the aftermath of the council elections. If you've been following my stuff here, I maintain that Keir Starmer's not going anywhere. They'll have to drag him kicking and screaming. But, a very bad showing in the council elections would be the perfect pretext to get rid of Starmer from the point of view of the Labour Party. So that may still happen. That is the kind of context for all of this. We're going to be watching a little bit of No Justice MTG in a second. Before we get there, I'll only remind people to pick up courses at the Academic Agency. It is the Trivium, the bestseller, Foundations of Shakespeare, another recent course that has done very well. The original was Foundations of Politics, Foundations of Economics. Then there was Foundations of Politics, on which, of course, The Populist Delusion is the textbook. So buy all of those. Pick up the textbook for Foundations of Shakespeare, which can get half price if you own the course. Buy it now. But now let's get on to what the sort of chatter is in the Green Party from this No Justice MTG. Let's have a little look.
Metropolitan police commissioners and media journalists and other politicians from the...
Now, I should say that one of the people who has been kind of beefing with Zach Polanski is the Sir Mark Rowley, the Met police commissioner, who basically came out in defense of the officers kind of kicking that guy in the head, defending his force and telling Polanski he doesn't have a clue what he's on about. And then he also called, Mark Rowley did, for a special unit to tackle anti-Semitism. Okay, he said we need a special unit because it's such a rising problem. This is another bit of context for what No Justice is about to say. I'm kind of watching this as a neutral observer, kind of interested to see what's happening. But like I say, I always keep my eye on the bottom political line, and the bottom political line is, regardless of what what these incidents are about in Golders Green, I know that these two things, the prescription of the IRG as a terrorist organization and extra legal protections for Jewish people, extra anti-Semitism laws, are things that certain people have been trying to bring about this year. And each one of these incidents in Golders Green kind of furthers the case along and weakens resistance to it. Keir Starmer, for example, each one of these, you know, has become more kind of less resistant to the idea of introducing laws like that after each one of these incidents. So that's, you know, what I look at. I look at politics and power. I am not so much interested in domestic crime, which is the same. I mean, I'm old enough to remember when the mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, said that these things were part and parcel of living in a major city. Direct quotation from Sadiq Khan. So, you know, this sort of stuff happens every day in London. Anyway, let's carry on.
The UK that have come out of the woodwork to attack Zach Polanski over a retweet. I just want to make it very clear, it's a retweet that all of this discourse has stemmed from. It's now made its way out of the United Kingdom. It's now not entirely based upon the UK for a party leader to be criticised now. The Israeli Deputy Foreign Minister has decided to weigh in on Zach Polanski's retweet in her official capacity. What's going on, chat? Actually, what the fuck is going on that one retweet from Zach Polanski has gotten so much attention that it's become the talk of the town rather than, I don't know, the safety of Jewish people in the UK, and so much so that it has warranted commentary from the Deputy Foreign Minister of Israel? UK Green Party leader Zach Polanski is an extremist, says Israel's Deputy Foreign Minister. Sharon Haskell accuses Polanski, who is Jewish, of choosing to legitimise violence against Jews, quote-unquote, after he shared criticism of police over the arrest of a terror attack suspect. Of course...
No, I mean, I will say, in the interest of being like value-free, I think that if it was any other kind of configuration, a lot of people would have asked, you know, let's just move some of the ethnic groups around a second and ask ourselves, would the response have been the same? Okay. If, let's say, it was a British black guy who was the guy, you know, being kicked in the head, and the victim was just like you know, normal white person, okay, not Jewish, just a white Brit, that those were the ethnic groups involved, would there have been the same media response? Would there have been the same response from Keir Starmer? Would there have been this much controversy around Zach Polanski asking about police brutality? Experience tells me probably not. Probably this situation would not have played out in the same way. And therefore, a lot of British people, I imagine, I only imagine, because I'm not actually tracking these things on Twitter anymore, but I imagine a lot of people will be asking, how come there is a different response depending on how you shake up these ethnic groups? That's not fair. That's not in the spirit of equality. A lot of people may be thinking that. Maybe a lot of, I mean, from what I saw, from what brief stuff I saw, I think this played out along partisan lines, where right wingers typically were cheering on the police, saying, kick him in the head harder. Yo, come on. The only problem is he didn't kick him hard enough. And most right wingers did that. Whereas most left wingers probably had the same gut response as Polanski and some of these other people, being like, is it really necessary to kick the guy in the head that hard? All I could think of was what I just said. You move the groups around, and I suspect the talk around this wouldn't have been the same. That's my suspicion, although I could be wrong. All right, let's carry on. She, by the way, no justice, is never going to say what I just said. That's probably the difference between me and, you know, a bona fide left-wing activist like this girl here.
Israel would be the first country to defend police brutality, but I digress. After a video of police subduing and kicking Essa Suleiman, the 45-year-old Somalia-born UK citizen, who was suspected of being behind the attack on Wednesday, went viral online, Polanski retweeted without comment a post on Twitter alleging that officers were repeatedly and violently kicking a mentally ill man in the head when he was already incapacitated after being tased. I mean, this is quite literally true. This is a thing. This is an accurate description of what happened, right? The commentary is whether or not that it is warranted to do that in the case of a stabbing attack. And given...
And I should say that he still had the knife. That's why, that's the kind of reason that's been given. If you ask me, I think that, I mean, having lived through stuff like BLM and various other times, I think that they went in hard because of who the victims are. That's my personal view. I could be wrong. But I just can't remember the police going quite as hard as this in other incidents, which is not... But then again, I'm not one of these people who kind of religiously watches. You know, there are like police channels that look at lots of arrests. Maybe this sort of stuff is routine. To me, it looked kind of it looked like they went in hard to me. But, you know, what I know nothing.
But apparently... According to Metropolitan Police reports, this guy did try to attack the police. There would have been some threat to the policeman's life, so it makes it slightly more reasonable. The fact Mark Rowley on the morning round said that in most cases it wouldn't be reasonable shows that to at least have criticism of it is within the realms of possibility, right?
So there you go. Mark Rowley said himself, most of the time we wouldn't do this, but we had to do it because he still had a knife. He was resisting arrest. He was trying to attack us. If you ask me, I mean, I saw the footage. This was one of those stories that Twitter really wanted me to see, right? So that kept on coming up on my feed, even though I've been trying to avoid the news. Twitter really wanted me to see this one. So I did end up watching the footage. And, I mean, watching it, there's a, like the last kick that comes in, the last, like, it feels like one or two too many stomps to me. It's like, did you really need to do the last one? But then again, maybe adrenaline had kicked in, or maybe, you know, he just wanted to make sure or whatever. I'm personally kind of cool with what the police did in this instance. My question is whether the reason that we're having this conversation is because of the ethnic groups involved in the interest of fairness. I suspect this would have played out differently. And I stand by that.
I'm not going to pretend to be an expert on operational policing to tell you whether it was or wasn't, but the idea that in most situations it wouldn't be reasonable shows that the criticism is at least somewhat acceptable, right? The idea that this is beyond the pale, that he's retweeted this, it really is nonsense. It really is nonsense.
I agree with that. I don't think... I mean, I don't like Zach Polanski as an individual. I think he's... you know, I don't really trust him, to be honest. I think the whole rise of the Greens was as some sort of containment mechanism for Magic Grandpa to, you know, get rid of Zara Sultana and your party and Corbyn to have a kind of more acceptable party in there. Turns out that may have not worked because the Green Party is full of some pretty radical people who have yet to be struggle session, which is what we're watching here, okay? But that is inevitable that will take place because we do not live in a free state. We do not live in a proper democracy. We live in a managed state, which has some soft totalitarian characteristics, and they will not tolerate these elements being in the Green Party. They will keep on shaking it until the Green Party has been cleansed of this sort of thing. Okay, that is unacceptable to them. That's what's happening right now. This is the whole purpose of this. But I generally agree with the principle that it kind of was it's within the acceptable realms of the leader of one of the main political parties to say, was that level of force really necessary? Okay, maybe it was, but I'm saying that it's his right, and I don't even like Zach Polensky, and I don't particularly care for the Green Party, but it is his right to say that in a free society, in a nominally free society. And I think that in most other cases, he wouldn't have got the pushback that he had. I think he's got the pushback that he has because this is a particularly charged area. It's gold is green again, it's anti-Semitism again. And because of that, it gets more of a charge where he's coming under additional scrutiny for that reason. And, you know, if you truly believe in fairness and equality, it shouldn't get additional. Like, you should just be allowed to say it without any pushback. But anyway, let's carry on. Well, not without any pushback, but without it being considered beyond the pale, right? It is acceptable for him to say it. You can argue back against him, but it's not like a cause for censure, I guess, is what we're saying.
And it shouldn't prompt criticism from the Metropolitan Police Commissioner, from other party leaders, from every single journalist in the UK, or indeed the Deputy Foreign Minister of fucking Israel. Asked if she agrees with an Israeli embassy source that labelled Polensky as an extremist, Haskell told the conservative British broadcaster GB News, "It is as simple as that. Polensky and his party are continuing this path of conspiracy theories and hatred towards Jews and towards the Jewish community and towards British Jewish citizens," she said. "Sometimes an apology is too little too late, especially when it comes to Polensky. When you choose to legitimize violence against Jews, you don't just make a mistake, you cross a moral line that should never be crossed."
This statement, you know, before even hearing what No Justice says, strikes me as being stretching credulity, to say the least. I mean, I don't believe for a second that Zach Polensky is trying to, like, promote violence towards the Jewish community, you know, as a British Jewish guy. Come on. I just don't believe that's the case. So, I mean, and this is kind of, again, the sort of dishonesty that winds people up. I'm not a Green Party member, and I don't particularly care for, I mean, to be honest, Zach Polensky goes through me as a human being every time I see him. I don't mean that as a kind of, you know, as a statement on his ethnicity or his background. I just mean there's something about him that goes through me. So I don't really like, I prefer, I would be a lot easier for me to consider the Green Party if it was being led by Hannah Spencer. She doesn't go through me in the same way that Polensky does. Just something about the guy. Maybe it's like his weird, like I hear that he has some like weird background where he was involved in like breast enlargement or something like that. I mean, I don't bloody know. But there's something off about, like, there's something, you know, I get a vibe that I don't really like from him. I can't quantify it. I don't know where it's from. I'm just being honest, okay? And I'm allowed, as a free citizen or subject of the Crown, to have those feelings about Polensky, while also saying that in this particular case, he hasn't really done anything wrong, and that these charges against him, he is trying to promote violence against his own ethnic group, doesn't sound true to me. Okay, let's carry on.
This didn't happen, by the way. This didn't happen. At no point did Polensky legitimize violence against Jews. He never said that. That's not a thing that happened. What the fuck are we talking about? Why is the Deputy Foreign Minister of Israel just openly telling lies about other party leaders in a country thousands of miles away?
That's a very good question, though, Justice. I would like to know that as well. How about, like, butt out? Like, Israel's got enough of its own problems to be worrying about what Zach Polensky's saying, right? How about just, like, you know, stick to your own domestic affairs and let Britain stick to our own affairs? How about that, Deputy Foreign Minister of Israel? Yeah? I don't think anybody should disagree with that, what I just said.
What's going on? I feel like I've stepped to the fucking Twilight Zone.
Hmm.
It normalizes hatred, emboldens others, and corrodes the standards that hold the society together. This is a retweet we're describing, remember? And once that line is breached, it cannot simply be undone with a few words of regret. You risk...
What the hell is she talking about? What he said was, oh, should the guy have been kicked in the head as badly as that? All of this? It's ridiculous. I mean, talk about overplaying your hand yet again. I mean, what is this?
Spending the rest of your life apologizing for it, she added. You shouldn't have to spend your entire life apologizing for a fucking retweet. And the fact that this politician spent most of her political career in Likud and is now part of a party that is just a split from Likud anyway shows you that she is the one who's actually an extremist. Her position is the extremist one. The Likud party charter is, at the very least, entirely based upon ethnic cleansing, if not genocidal in nature, right? She is the extremist, not Zach Polanski, who opposes A, police brutality, and B, opposes ethnic cleansing within the Palestinian territories, which is the explicit goal of the Likud party.
Regardless of what you think about that, why does she think it's her place to come in and, like, have a go at a British politician? How he responds to a domestic crime incident, or, you know, whether it's, you know, or a domestic terrorist incident, even, it's still basically British affairs. It's not typically the done thing for if the foreign ministers or the deputy foreign ministers of other countries to comment on what goes on in that other country. Have Israel just given up on, like, normal diplomacy? Not your place, and it's especially not your place when a sizable portion of the population of this country believes the things that No Justice has just said about you. Sorry, just, you know, butt out for a while.
You are the extremist, Sharon. The idea that you're in any position to accuse anyone else, let alone for a retweet, is absolute nonsense. It's absolute nonsense. And Zach Polanski, in his infinite wisdom, has clapped back, thankfully.
Awkward pause. I don't know why that is. I'm just filling dead air here. I don't know.
Extremist is the death and destruction that Benjamin Netanyahu's government brings on a daily basis. Extremist is them introducing the death penalty for Palestinians, and only for Palestinians. It does not apply to other races. It is explicitly an apartheid execution policy that's been passed. Extremist is this apartheid genocidal Israeli government that our government shamefully supports. So true. So true and based. And again, the fact that this is all happening over a Jewish man is just... I'm at my wit's end, chat. I really am. I'm absolutely at my wit's end.
So this is what's happening on the British left. Interesting, isn't it, really? I mean, I think we'll leave it there. We get the gist of it. I don't want this video to be much longer, but, you know, No Justice there's had enough for, you know, the ringer that the Green Party is being put through. And again, my view on this is that, you know, it can't be helped. This process must be played out, and that all we can do is observe it, you know, watch it play out. There's nothing we can do to stop it happening, really. What's going to happen is going to happen. But I do find it very interesting that you're getting this kind of, like, pressure on all parts of the political system at the moment when the political system in itself is coming apart. Let's not forget that the two parties, Labour and Tory, have already kind of lost their duopoly on politics. So now we have Reform and Green Party, and now all the system can do and all the media can do is constantly put these parties through a struggle session. And in the case of Reform, that has already been so complete that now we have yet another party to the right of that, Restore, who, you know, if they get bigger, trust me, they will go through their own struggle sessions if that is not already happening, you know, with the likes of Montgomery Toms on the scene and, you know, Rupert hanging out with Montgomery Toms and all this sort of stuff. I mean, to me, that just looks like you know, the reformization of Restore in embryo, because it's all the same stuff at the end of the day. And it doesn't matter what anyone says, people can see it, people know what it is, when it happens. The Green Party, as you can see by the face of this kind of true blue or true green, should I say, green supporter, are going through it right now. And when the whole process is over, they will turn the Green Party into a shell of itself so that it more closely resembles the Labour Party, just as the Reform Party is now a shell of itself and more closely resembles the Tory Party. Mark my words. Next thing that will happen is that if there's a wipeout of Labour in the council elections, you'll start seeing defections from Labour to the Greens as this process continues. But all that will happen is that now the Green Party will be the vehicle for regime left containment, as opposed to the Labour Party, just as Reform become the Tories. Why? Because that is the way the system wants it to be. It is structurally necessary for the system. It is not going to allow any genuine change to come through the electoral process. That's just a fact. Okay, if you enjoyed this, pick up a course from the academic agency, Trivium, the bestseller there, Foundations of Shakespeare, like I said, and I'll catch you all next time. If you like this video, be sure to like and subscribe. You can join the channel for thousands of hours of past shows in the archive and hundreds of videos. If you have any questions, you can leave a super chat or a super thanks, and I'll be sure to pick it up during my weekly office hours, which run every Tuesday afternoon. I also provide courses at the academic agency, which I encourage people to buy. Thousands of students now have taken the Trivium to improve their skills in writing, logic, and rhetoric. Just three of many courses available. Buy it now. But most importantly of all, friends, get out.